Governor David Ige has never seemed like the kind of person who would have coalitions formed against him, or at least he didn't until January 13th, the day of the missile alert. Now he has an unprecedented number of his fellow Democratic office holders, including his own recently departed lieutenant governor, united in the effort to unseat him. This is shaping up to be an election year unlike any other, and Chad Blair has more in today's reality check from Civil Beat. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, Chris.
We haven't seen anything quite like this particular coalition on the Democratic side, have we?
This is unusual. What specifically that Civil Beat reported on, you mentioned Shan Tsui endorsing Colleen Hanabusa for governor. Obviously, Hanabusa is challenging the governor in the primary. But just yesterday, we posted a story on a fundraiser that's being held next week. And the people organizing the fundraiser, the people encouraging others to donate and support Hanabusa over Ige are the top leaders at the state legislature, specifically Ron Cochi, the Senate president, Scott Sike, the House speaker, as well as the chairs of the money committees, Donovan Dela Cruz in the Senate and Sylvia Luke in the House. This is remarkable because they're still in session. They're actually deliberating the initiatives from the Ige administration. They're considering the budget, appropriations, other bills, and this stuff has to go back to the governor for his signature. So it really looks like almost like an open mutiny. But they are dissatisfied, they say, directly with Ige's leadership.
This was unheard of in previous Democratic Party.
I've been scratching my head. Even if you go back 4 years ago when David Ige came out of nowhere to unseat Neil Abercrombie in the primary, and that was an historic upset, I don't remember a lot of people jumping on the Ige bandwagon at the time because, first of all, nobody thought he was actually going to win. And second of all, you don't want to anger a sitting governor of the same party. And I just can't remember. Even though I've been covering politics a long time, I don't remember something quite like this. And by the way, if someone does know of an example, please let me know so I can get up to speed. But this just seems unprecedented to me.
Well, you know, Chad, were he to win election as governor, these folks would have put themselves very far out on a limb, wouldn't they?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, what if the governor does win? Remember, Clayton, he is in the race as well. There could be yet another candidate we're hearing that could jump in, further splintering the vote. Therefore, that means it takes less votes to win, a plurality, if you will. You know, then he will continue to be governor for another 4 years, and very likely it'll be the same people in the legislature that oppose him now that have to live with him and, I should add, work with them and represent the best interest of Hawaii.
And we haven't even gotten through, as you pointed out earlier, we haven't even gotten through the session yet.
It's only March, and there's a lot that can still happen. The legislature ends in early May. You're going to have the party convention over Memorial Day weekend. The filing deadline, by the way, is early June, meaning those who want to run for office, that's when they have to make a decision. So my guess is we're going to hear more.
This is not the Democratic Party that once marched in lockstep under the guidance of Senator Dan Inouye, is it?
No. Although, to be fair, even back in Dan Inouye's day, it wasn't all that long ago that he passed away, you had your Tom Gills challenging John Burns,
Jack
and there's
Lewin.
Any number of challenges. Yeah, exactly. We could go on and on, but this is really quite remarkable.
It is indeed. Thanks a lot, Chad.
Sure.
That was political and opinion editor Chad Blair with today's Reality Check, and to read that full story, it's on civilbeat.org.